Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Have become stressed out and overwhelmed by the minutiae of other people's rhetoric? Well, we should look at all of that bombast and nonsense as hot air, just gas, and take a gulp of laughing gas so we can see the humor in things. Laughter heals, and laughter can change a mood from sighs to giggles and lift the spirit and brighten the moment immeasurably. If you don't think so, just ask my guest today, comedian Kim Coles, who some of you may remember as Sinclair, that zany chick who spent 5 seasons on Living Single, making us laugh. You know, I've met comedians that often say making people laugh ain't easy. You have to have a special knack for it and, well, great timing. But as rewarding as it may be, comedy isn't Kim Coles' only talent. She is also an actress, author, and inspirational speaker, as well as a playwright. And most recently, Ms. Cole has joined the Oprah Winfrey Network as a game show host, along with Barry Polsnick, where they challenge contestants to win big prizes while determining what is considered normal on their show, which starts on June 4th. That's Monday, June 4th. And the name of the show is, well, Are You Normal, America? Well, you know what? We have Kim here, but I was able to find a little ditty that Kim did, and she wished us a Happy New Year, so I want to play that before I introduce her. So here we go with Kim Coles' New Year's wish.
Hi there, it's Kim Coles, and I'm wishing you a very Happy New Year! but I wanted to just speak to you about change in your life. And the thing is that you don't have to wait till the new year to make a change in your life. You can make a change anytime you want to and anytime that you feel that you need to. So for me, for 2011, I made a lot of changes. I changed my look. I changed all my hair. I changed certain relationships in my life, relationships that were not working. I got rid of them. I changed my weight. I lost about 12 pounds. I'll tell you all about that later on. And I'm changing my view of the world, of always looking at things through the lens of love and laughter and living out loud. And so that's what I wish for you. I wish a very happy, prosperous 2012. I wish for prosperity in all areas of your life, love and prosperity and wealth and health and emotional and physical and fiscal and everything. And I wish that for you and for your family. And I also wish for you to find that special gift that you have inside of you that you need to share with the world. You should be doing the thing that lights you up, that lights your soul up every single day. And so I have that in my life, and I really wish that for you.
Well, you know what I wish? I wish to introduce Kim Coles. We have her with us now. So how are you, Kim?
Hello. You know what's funny? Is I was shopping, and something said, check your emails. I think you're supposed to be doing something right now. And I'm telling you, in that instant, I left all of my shoes in the store, ran into the hallway of the mall, and that's where I'm standing right
now.
That's
where you are now?
Right now. Right now. This is so funny. I completely, I don't know if I forgot. I just got busy. And then I was like, oh. So Spirit spoke to me and said, check your emails right this very second. So here I am.
And welcome, welcome. And you're right
Thank
on time.
You. Right on time. What are the chances?
Right on time. And well, you can walk through the store and get your shoes.
Well, no, I can't. I can focus on one thing at a time. And I was at the cash register, so I was at that edit stage where you go, okay, I've picked out way too many things. Now what do I really, really need? And that takes full focus. So I thought I'd give you full focus first and then go back and give the shoes full focus.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And where exactly are you? Are you on the West Coast?
I'm on the West Coast. I'm in Los Angeles.
Well, because I understood that you are actually an East Coast gal. Where are you?
I am.
Where were you born?
I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Wow. You're a real New Yorker.
I am. I don't sound like it when I talk, but I could talk like that if I have to. You know what I'm saying? Right? For real. Right?
Now yeah. You sound like a New Yorker. For real.
For real.
Well, did you... I had no idea that at one time that you were a model. Is that how you started your career?
Well, you know, I love to tell people I started as a model, but it's not like I was really a successful model. I mean, everybody has done church basement fashion shows, and I did a few little magazine shoots, but this was early on, and it's not to put myself down, but it was really early on in the plus model history line, so to speak. You know, nowadays we have beautiful, curvy girls who get lots and lots of work. Back then, it was one or two girls, and so I did a little bit of here, a little bit of there, but I never gave up my day job. So it was actually while I was modeling that I got asked to perform because people knew that I was funny. And sometimes, let's say, the host of the show didn't show up and somebody would say, Kim Coles, you're funny. Go. This is before cell phones, before you could call to find out where they were. They would say, Kim Coles, go entertain the crowd. And I did, and I found myself performing more than modeling. And so that's really the beginning.
So you never got nervous? So you knew and went into stand-up just like that?
Oh, no, you get nervous. Of course you get nervous. The best get nervous. So I don't mean to tell that story and sound flippant like, then I just became a comedian. No, of course you get nervous. That's part of the game. I actually think the best get nervous. If you don't care what the audience thinks, if you don't care that your writing will land and with the audience and make them laugh, if you're not nervous about that, then I don't know what.
Well, that's what I was saying at the top of the show, that a lot of comedians tell me that it's very nerve-wracking to, because you never know if they're going to laugh. Do you write your material?
Sure. I do.
So you never actually know if they're going to laugh or not. You get up on stage and you take a risk, right?
Every single time. And even material that you've worked on and honed and made really good, it could flop tonight. It could flop tomorrow night. It could flop the second show. So there's ever that constant creation and communication with an audience. And that's what makes it amazing, because anything can happen. There's no net. You have your material. You have your sense of humor. You have your talent. And then you have that beautiful audience that your job is to make them laugh. And sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, and that's part of the territory.
Well, your comedy is a bit zany, right? Are you also a physical comedian?
Yes. I'm better seen than just heard. It's one of the reasons why I've never done a comedy DVD, or comedy CD, I should say. I'm physical on stage, very much so. I get into it.
Yeah, I was looking at one of your YouTubes where you were, I guess you were dancing. You were with another woman named Kim.
Oh, Kim Whitley, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it seems everybody on the show was doing some form of physical comedy.
Yeah, well, listen, the editor took the best of the best, and the best of the best. You know, when you're doing a sizzle reel, which is what that was, it was just giving people a taste of what happens at the Comedy Union every Tuesday night. So we were giving them the best visual cues because you weren't going to be able to hear our material. So it's best just to give people the physical.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So did you start off in New York at the comedy clubs and then go
I
to
did.
California? Or,
I did. I started out in the comedy clubs in New York, and then I auditioned for In Living Color, and I got it, and that's what brought me out to California.
Oh, tell me about Living Color. Were you a regular on that? Because I know Jim Carrey, did he get a start there?
I was on the very first season only.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Okay. Because it was Jim Carrey and Jamie Foxx. It's the first time I saw them. Was on
Living Color. It is, sure. That's the first time you saw a lot of folks. The first time you may have seen David Alan Greer, the Wayans, although Damon Wayans had been on Saturday Night Live some, but the rest of the family, you know, you hadn't really seen. Jim Carrey had done a couple of movies, so he was rising, but it might be the first time you had ever seen him. Tommy Davidson was a stand-up comedian and rising, and all of us were pretty new. They were booking folks that were relatively new to the business. That was what was so amazing about it. These were fresh faces.
And how did Living Single come about?
After I left In Living Color, I spent about 18 months just taking meetings, taking lots and lots of meetings. That's the best part about show business, is picking meetings. And
what does that mean exactly, taking meetings?
Well, it means that...
Auditioning?
It means that people, well, it was better than auditions. It was, you're funny, you're new in the business, you're hot, you're talented, and we want to meet with you to see if we can develop shows for you. Or we're a bunch of producers, and we think we could find some writers that would be perfect for you. Or we're writers, and we have a network that we would like to take an idea to of a show. So it was partly auditions and partly meetings, because I left after the first year, but I left... After the first year of Living Single, Living Color, I'm sorry, was so well received that I was the new hot girl in town. So people would say, we'd like to meet with you. And I said, yes. And eventually, Warner Brothers and Fox called and said, we have an idea for a TV show in looking at the relationship of women and black women to black men and to each other. And would you be interested in doing a show like that? And I said, absolutely yes. And they said, what do you think of Queen Latifah? And I was like, oh, my goodness, I love her. And I had no idea at the same time they were having the same meetings with her. We want to do a show about women and their relationships to men and what they think of men. And by the way, what do you think of Kim Coles? And I hear that she said, oh, my goodness, I love her. And so they put the two of us together, and Living Single was created around the two of us. They hired Yvette Lee Bowser to create the show, and lo and behold, we were off and running.
Well, did you yourself create, because this is the first time you actually did an acting role where you created the character yourself? Or
yes.
You fleshed it out yourself, right?
Well, I was involved in the creation of Sinclair. Like, we each got a chance to put our input into what we would like to be, what our stories would like to be like, and then all the other characters were fleshed out around these two core characters who were cousins.
But Sinclair was more of a, well, I don't want to say, she was Dizzy, right? That was her character?
Well, she marched to the beat of her own drummer. If you really watched it, she had sort of a childlike naivete and a wisdom that was, if you really watch, like, I when people say, oh, she was stupid, I go, then you really didn't watch the show.
No,
she
I don't think she was stupid.
To the beat of her own, right. And I'm not saying you said that, but over the years, people go, oh, she was so dumb. She really wasn't dumb. She was just different and unusual and energetic and childlike. Mm-hmm. There were times when she had wisdoms and witticisms that solved problems, and that was what was amazing about her. And that was what was amazing about the six of us. We each blended really, really well. And it was I call it the sparkling jewel of my career.
Well, it's one of your more memorable roles, because you were on there, like, what, five seasons?
It was five seasons, yes.
That's quite a while. What is it like when you form a family and then, you know, time comes and you have to part? And do you still see Queen Latifah? And I forgot, Kim, there was another young lady I saw recently in New York.
Mm-hmm. So Erica Alexander, who played Max, is actually one of my best friends to this day.
Oh, cool.
I am closest with her. We talk all the time. She's just one of my very best friends. But I was maid of honor in her wedding. I love to brag about that. So we're dear friends. I see TC a lot. I see John every once in a while. Kim and Latifah, I don't get to see that often. But when we do see each other, there's nothing but love.
Well, you know, and I saw DC in New York, and I didn't know he could sing as well as he does. He sings really well.
Oh, well, he sang a lot on the show, so I thought everybody knew he could sing. Yeah, he's got, I think singing was his first gig, his first love. He's marvelous. And he sang
really
quite
is.
A bit on the big single, and we all got a chance to listen to him croon.
Well, I guess I didn't see Living Single that often, but when I did see it, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, go back and watch some of the episodes where he sings. Those are some of the best episodes. Because he's often serenading Max, or he's just those are some of my favorite
episodes.
Right,
they had a relationship.
Yes, they did.
She was always goofing on him or something, but they ended up with a relationship, right?
Yes, they did. They did indeed.
Well, let's get to your most current venture.
Yes.
And now you are a co-host on a game show. It's not the first, though, game show you've done.
No, I'm the first African-American woman to host a primetime game show and the first African-American woman to host two game shows, for sure. I'm in the history books. Yeah, it's kind of cool. This is a game show for the Oprah Winfrey Network, and it's called Are You Normal America? And it's a show in which we just explore what is and isn't normal in your life. So everything from, is it normal to pee in a pool? Is it normal to lie to your doctor? Is it normal to lie to your mother to get off the phone? Is it normal to not change your underwear for 2 days in a row? And we have two contestants that come on the show to compete to win money. And we have a team of 10 people that we call the Pole Posse, who also represent all of America. And they come on and share their interesting stories of being normal or not normal, as the case may be. And it's really a lot of fun. There's on-the-street elements where we go and we poll strangers on the street. It's just a whole lot of fun.
I was asking someone today, a couple of women, because there was one question that I saw that it says, is it normal to talk on the phone while using the restroom? And every woman cracked up because we know that so well, and they all agreed it's normal because everyone does it.
It is super normal. And the bonus question, that particular episode was, which one of the Pole Posse members actually drops the phone in the toilet while using the restroom? So there's always a bonus on the show, and that's what makes it really fun and lively and a really cool experiment. Like, I call it a sociology experiment.
Well, you're also doing comedy on there as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm always being Kim, and Kim, laughter and love are my gifts to the world. So most everything I do has laughter infused. So I wouldn't say I'm doing comedy, like written jokes. I just use the situation.
You're spontaneous.
And make people laugh. And some of the jokes are written. I'll take that back. But it is just situational and fun.
Well, tell me about your co-host, because isn't he also the executive producer of, what is a fifth grader? Are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Yeah, he's a producer and a game show creator. And also the host of the show and the owner of the production company that makes the show. So he wears a lot of hats. His name is Barry Kosick.
Is this his first time hosting?
It's his first time hosting.
He just decided to get out front and see what it was like?
Well, I think Oprah saw in him a guy who was witty and funny and really funny off the cuff and edgy. And, look, he's created game shows, so he knows what to do to make them zing-a-zing-zing. And he did. He did. It was a lot of fun.
You've already taped several segments now?
We taped 13 episodes.
Okay.
Back to back to back to back to back. I think I still haven't gotten my rest yet.
Well, now you're, I should say that it's about to premiere on Monday, correct, at 9 o'clock?
It premieres 9 p.m. June 4th on the OWN Network.
All right. So what is it like working for Oprah Winfrey?
Let me tell you something. It's a treat. It's fantastic because everything was first class. I got to tell you, I was mesmerized by the set. The set was beautifully done, and no stone left unturned in terms of the details of making it beautiful and colorful and, you know, lively. And I was really, you know, I've been in the business long enough to see when something sort of slapped together with spit and nail polish, you know. And this was beautifully done, well made, and it was my indication that they have a high hope for it, because the set is now in storage, and we're now waiting for the show to launch and waiting for people to fall in love with it and waiting for America to say, we love this show so much, we want to see it again. That was the kind of set that it was. That's what it spoke to me. And Oprah's a class act, and why wouldn't it be anything but wonderful? And I got a chance to meet her, and that was such a thrill because, you know, she's real, but she's also, I won't say the stuff of legend, but she's a woman who is self-made, and she's created her place in the world and stepped into it in such a large way. And you can absolutely feel her power and her energy the second you meet her.
Wow.
This is a woman who is by choice and by divine intervention where she is, and you can feel both of that and so much more.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
There's an African-American woman that has the first to create a television network.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And,
it's huge.
She has to. You have to give her all her kudos. She's also,
absolutely,
after Oprah, the Oprah show on Channel 7, ABC, you know, that woman has changed society, actually. She's changed,
absolutely,
the world opinion, I think.
Absolutely. And
she's
her,
like E.F. Hutton.
Everybody's listening. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Just, and what's interesting is that we know we can measure, we think we can measure her reach, but it is actually immeasurable, and it will last for years to come, and for decades to come, and for generations to come, and that needs to be noted, that it's actually immeasurable. There's what we see, and then there's what we don't see. Lord only knows what she's done and the influence that she's had that we don't even know about. And I'm telling you, you can feel all of that, all in that little tiny body. In fact, I was sort of surprised how, I don't think she's petite, but she was shorter than I thought she was. And she's still just a human being. She's still just one woman. And yet in that one woman, oh, she packs a punch.
Power.
And the punch is cultural, it's social, it's financial, it's marvelous. It's marvelous. And that any one of us should wish to achieve any one little fraction of what she's done. It's awe-inspiring. Awe-inspiring.
Well, is she still based out of Chicago, or is she now in California?
I think she's everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, she has an office in Chicago, but I was just in Chicago, and I got to see her in her Harpo offices. She has a home in California. I know she has a home in Hawaii. I think she's everywhere she wants to be.
Oh, okay. But the program itself is in California?
We shot in California, yes.
Okay.
You are listening to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler. And on today's show, we are talking to comedian Kim Cole about her new game show on the Oprah Winfrey Network entitled, Are You Normal, America? And Are We Normal Indeed? But moving on to my next question.
Well, what would you say? What do you feel constitutes normal? Because that, to me, is with quotes around it. Because who knows what normal really is?
Well, normal is relative. I think we're all normal, and we're all abnormal, and we're all extraordinary. And I think that's what really will strike in the hearts of people who watch the show, because you get a chance to see on the scale of whoever's deciding what is normal, what is and isn't normal. And you know, the truth is that we each have something that is amazing about us, and we get to go, oh, I do that, or oh, I've never done that, or oh, would I ever do that? And so it gets to be a fun series of questions. So I can't even answer what is normal. Here's what let me tell you what I do think is normal. I think it's normal to, and this has nothing to do with the game show. This has to do with who we are as beings. I think it's normal to love and want to be loved. It's normal to want to be seen and acknowledged. And it's normal to ask, am I normal?
Indeed. And in fact, speaking of normal, and we mentioned that Oprah inspires, you also inspire. You've become, I believe, a motivational speaker of sorts that inspires people. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. A few years ago, I created an initiative called Open the Gifts. And Open the Gifts is all about opening the purpose and passion that each, unlocking the open the purpose and passion that each and every one of us possesses inside. It's a little bit about what I was talking about just now. Each one of us has something amazing to share. Each one of us came here to do something amazing, and it's your birthright to open and share it with the world. And when you do that, the world shares its gifts with you. So let's use Oprah as an example. It's clear that she stepped into her purpose, her passion, what made her soul light up. And because she did that, she is afforded the opportunity to have a voice, to have a network, to have the financial wherewithal to be able to spread her wings and spread her message to people all over the world. And so it's really a you do this and this will happen kind of thing. I keep it real simple. And GIFT happens to be an acronym for gratitude, intention, forgiveness, triumph, and self-love. And I believe that gratitude, intention, forgiveness, triumph, and self-love are all of the principles that one needs to open those gifts, share them with the world, and step into your magnificence and shine. And so I go and I talk to women and girls and men and boys, whoever will listen to this message of self-love and doing what lights up your soul. And I do it in my way. I do it with comedy, of course, and I tell funny stories, and I tell stories from Hollywood and stories from my life, and I just share. I get very transparent and share what is the same about me and what we all have in common and what we all have that is extraordinary.
Well, you know, I met yesterday, I believe her name is Terry Moore. She's an acting coach. And she was saying that her philosophy is that you must always stay positive no matter what, that if you want to act or whatever you achieve or strive for in the world, you have to never say, I can't. You must always say, I can, and believe it. And a lot of us, she said, block ourselves because right away we think negative. And I think that's what happens in this world, that most people get negative instead of positive and never go anywhere.
Well, I'll tell you something that someone told me, because I actually think it's difficult to always stay positive. It's really tough because if things are tough, if you're dealing with challenges, it's sometimes hard to find the positive. So something that someone said to me that was so helpful, and then I'm going to add to it. Well, let me start by saying, I think, first of all, when you're not feeling positive, just get grateful. Get grateful for what you already have, and that will automatically put you in a positive state of mind. I think that's a real tool to go, like, this is not working, and I can't stand, and oh, my goodness, this is not okay, I'm just complaining. And then just go, wait a minute, let me focus on what is working. Let me stand grateful for what is amazing in my life. And it just automatically puts you into a different frame of mind. The second piece of that is that sometimes it is hard to stay positive, but you can always stay powerful. And staying powerful means making a choice. And you can make a choice to turn away from what is not working and turn towards what is working. So instead of, because sometimes I always thought staying positive can sound fake. You know, like, I'm smiling even though it's raining outside. It's okay. Everything's going to be okay. Well, nobody believes you. Even you can't believe that if you're faking it. So if being positive means faking it, then that's not being positive. Being positive means being powerful and making choices that put you in the right frame of mind. That's how I look at it.
Well, that makes sense to me. Definitely makes sense. And were you positive when you wrote your book? I mean, okay, so now you've done comedy and you've done acting and you've done game shows, but then you moved on to be an author. Well, what was that like?
Well, I'll say the authoring actually came before all of that. I was a stand-up comedian, then I was on Living Color, then I was on Living Single, then I became an author. So that's the real
order of things.
Chronological, the real order of things. I was positive that I had something funny I had to say. I was positive that to add author would be a really cool thing to add to my resume. I didn't know that people would read the book. I didn't know that it would make it to the Essence bestseller list 4 months in a row. I wasn't positive about that, but I was positive that I had something inside that had to come out.
Well, the name of the book is very cute.
I'm sorry?
The name of your book, I'm Free, But It Will Cost You, and it's The Single Life According to Kim Coles. I think it's a very cute title. It's catchy.
Thank you. Thank you. I searched long and hard for that title.
And how has The Single Life been?
It's interesting. It's real hard to stay positive about that, I'll tell you that much. It's interesting. You know, there's ups and downs, and right now I'm still single, but I've recently met someone who is quite yummy and smart and interesting and handsome, and so we'll see what happens. I'm remaining positive that our relationship will blossom. Now, what it will end up being, I don't know, but I'm positive that I have a real big crush on him, and that's a good place to begin.
And does he on you?
Yes. Ooh, yes.
So that's
you know
the Admiration Society.
Yeah. You know that old song, It's in His Kiss? It's in his kiss. You can always tell.
Oh, wow. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly hope that works out for you big time.
I hope so. Yeah, thank you.
Well, you know what I find quite interesting is that you were also involved in the natural beauty of black women. And weren't you involved with a show called My Black is Beautiful? Can you tell me about that? Which celebrated black women.
Yes.
It was
an initiative by Procter & Gamble. That was a episode, I think we did it 3 times on BET. And it was Procter & Gamble's mission to make sure that women, black women, women of color, knew that they were beautiful and desirable and amazing. And it was a show with beauty tips and lifestyle tips that was really helpful. And I really wish the show was still on. I don't think it's coming back. It was really just fantastic. And really fantastic of Procter & Gamble to have this initiative.
Well, do you believe in the natural look? Because I was looking at your hair, and it seems like you... Well, have you ever been into the weaves and all of that, or you've always preferred your own hair?
Well, no. So if you go back, I actually talk about my journey into natural hair.
Okay.
I wore braids for 20 years. I wore weaves prior to that. And last year, I decided to cut all the extensions out of my hair and start wearing my own natural hair. For me, it was a journey of saying no to covering up my hair and the way it grew out of my head. Mm-hmm. I was running away from my own natural hair. And although I considered myself natural because I wore braids and there was no chemical in my hair, there's another level of natural. And by the way, within the natural community, there are many definitions of natural. For me, it means wearing your own
hair.
Natural texture without any chemical straightener. Because I do put color in my hair, but not straightener. So yes, I do believe in being natural, but I do believe in a woman having choice. I do believe as long as the conversation is, you can choose to wear long blonde hair flowing down your back, even though that's not how it grows out of your head, as long as you're aware that you're covering up your own hair because you're choosing to adopt a more European beauty standard. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just about having just being honest with yourself about why you're doing it. And then rock whatever you want to rock. Just for me in this juncture, at this point in my life, it was time for me just to wear my own hair and be really proud of the way it grows out of my own scalp.
Well, in a way, I think you should wear what you want, but I see too many, in my opinion, women of color with these weaves on, and somehow they seem to have gotten lost. Because what's wrong with our own hair? I know it can be a pain in the butt, but the wearing of the weave is almost like, isn't it damaging? I've never worn a weave, so I can't say, but...
Well, it depends.
Isn't it damaging?
I think for some women, weave is actually protecting your hair. There are quite a few natural girls who wear weaves because it protects their own curls. So it depends on who does it. It depends on how you treat it. It depends on how you take care of your hair underneath it. There's some people who have beautiful, long, thick, amazing natural hair underneath this weave that they wear. For some women, it's a matter of convenience, or their job is such that it's conservative and they can't wear a natural style. So there's, you know, that's why I defend anyone doing whatever they want to do as long as they are being honest with themselves. And so I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Just to, for some people, they have no choice. Like, there's an actress I know, I won't mention her name. She can't wear her own hair because her edges are completely gone. So If she's going to work on television, there's a way that they want you to look on TV. She can't go on TV because she's bald in the front of her head. So she has to wear wigs and weaves. And I can't begrudge her.
And I've noticed more and more women are getting very thin around their edges and things like that. But I didn't know if that was the weave or the braids or what.
It could be
or
a number
not
of things.
Allowing your
in
hair
my to... case, it could be. You know, I'm very fortunate that my braids didn't take out. My edges are actually in pretty good condition because I would get my braids done regularly. I never got them done tight. And I would get them done so that the hair that I was adding to my hair never weighed down on my hair and pulled out my edges. So a lot of women who put their hair away thinking they were protecting it actually were doing it too tight. Maybe they were using the wrong kind of hair. They weren't taking care of it. And now they're losing their hair. And so, again, I remember saying to this one girl, she's like, well, what's wrong? Why are you natural? When you could be wearing a weave. And I remember one time the wind blew, and it blew back her hair, and I noticed she had no edges. And I was like, she doesn't have a choice. She could shave her head bald, or she could wear wigs and weaves. And so you never know what's going on underneath somebody. You never know what's going on in someone's life. And so
true.
I had to step back and just go, well, there
judgment.
Might be some other reason. And by the way, it is work. You know, particularly if you live in a humid climate, you know, there have been plenty of times I've gone out to an event and I came home looking like a poodle because my hair was all, you know, fuzzy.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
The right product and the right esthetician and the right, maybe you need to see a dermatologist to take a look at your scalp to give you good scalp health. So,
well, you know, and sometimes you don't know what the product could be, because more and more they're making products that really make women of color's hair look gorgeous. Because I just found out that olive oil shampoo is really good for me.
Mm-hmm. You have to experiment and just find what works, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you, I mentioned before that the girl does everything, and you're a playwright as well. So tell me about your one-woman show.
I do a lot, don't I?
You do?
Yeah. And
I'm
trying to sit in a place where security won't move me because I'm not really sitting in the part of the mall where I'm allowed to be, but I may have to move along in a few moments before they come and get me. I have a one-woman show called Oh, But Wait, There's More. And it's going to be a humorous look at my Hollywood stories and life in general, and where I am right now, and menopause. And the tagline for the show is, what happens when pilot season came and went and residual checks have all been spent?
Ooh.
So it's a humorous look at the ups and downs of Hollywood.
Well, then you write, correct? Because I'm told that you must be able to do a whole lot of things if you're going to be out there in Hollywood.
Well, it helps. If you want longevity, it helps.
Mm-hmm.
It helps.
But what
I've
is homework?
Homework was my first show. Well, homework was my first show. It was also a one-woman show, but there were four men in it. So technically it was a play.
Okay.
I did that. I produced it here in Los Angeles off and on for a few years, and then on the road. I went to New York. I went to New Jersey with it. It was just a fantastic show. I played maybe 6 to 7 characters, three of whom I played all at the same time. I played three best friends, all of whom are pieces of me. And the guys played my boyfriends, my teachers, my lovers, my dance instructors. And so that was the first one. And I thought, well, the first one I did with a bunch of people, this one I'm going to do all by myself. or with only me on stage. None of us do anything by ourselves.
Oh, that's
so Overweight is more open in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. There's an amazing theater festival that happens for 2 weeks here in L.A., and I'm doing it three shows. And if I really like it, and if it really does well, then I'll probably take it on the road at some point.
That sounds great. I mean, so that we might see it in New York?
You very well might. You very well might see it in New York.
Well, that'll be interesting. Because we need theater. In fact, I'm going on Monday with Danny Glover to make sure that theater survives and African-American theater survives
in New York. It's important. It's vital. It's vital. And thank you for saying theater, not theater.
Pardon me?
I said thank you for saying theater and not theater.
Well, I do a lot of theater review. You know, I used to be part of the Negro Ensemble Company. But not
oh,
exactly.
Wow. That's legend. So, that's stuff of legend.
Oh, God, so many people came out of that. Esther Roll. Clarice Taylor, Moses Gunn. Well, Robert Hooks. And it can go on. It'll go on. It goes on and on. Bill Duke.
Say again?
Bill Duke.
Yes.
All of those folks were at the NEC at one time and went on to, as you have gone on, to greater heights.
Yes.
But is there a website that you have that people can get in touch with you or find out more about you?
KimCole.tv. KimCole.tv. You can also follow me on Twitter, @KimCole. I'm very, very active on Twitter. And I also have a Facebook page, The Real Kim, I think it's Real Kim Cole, facebook.com/Real Kim Cole.
And what about if they want to find out more about the GIFTS?
That's also on my website. There's a little drop-down tab that explains that. And also how to book me to come and speak. I have a speaker's agent named Denise Saxton who helps find these amazing gigs for me. I've been traveling all over the country, and it's just been amazing. I travel all over the country, and I also partner with corporations to speak to their people. So it's kind of a really cool thing. And this is what I'm doing in addition to Hollywood, basically.
Well, I'd certainly like to at one point hear one of your motivational speeches, because it seems like you have something to say, and certainly to inspire others.
I do.
Well, don't you think humor has a lot to do with it? I mean, even when you're feeling down, if you can think of something funny and you start laughing, it sort of changes the whole mood.
It does. Humor is my way. Humor is my way of connecting and feeling connected.
Indeed.
Yes. Indeed.
Well, we are getting close to the end of the show.
Yes.
Time is up, and I want to thank you so much for coming and spending this time with us and my listening audience.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure, and I want to mention one more time that folks, starting Monday, June 4th at 9 p.m. on the Oprah Winfrey Show, you'll be able to catch Kim Coles, and the name of your show again is it
Are You Normal America?
Are You Normal America? Oh, and you can find out on Monday. And it's going to run every Monday at 9 o'clock?
Yes. And I hope for a very long time.
Well, we got to keep it going, folks.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kim, and it's been a pleasure talking to you.
You as well. Thank you.
I want to say to my listening audience, thank you for listening to my topic and making it topically yours. And you know what? We're going to say goodbye to Kim Coles. And this is the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. We're going to end the show with mucho love and mucho laughter. And that's by David Arvet.
and you've been listening to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.